Welcome to this special spin-off program from a satellite CME symposium held on January 18, 2019, during the GI Cancer Symposium in San Francisco. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. We called this meeting Meet the Professors, and the format was that two GI cancer investigators at a time join me on the stage to present cases from their practices and discuss relevant clinical research databases. Our faculty included Drs. Wells Messersmith and Eric Van Kutsum discussing metastatic colorectal cancer, Drs. Ghassan Abu Alfa and Tim Gretton discussing hepatocellular carcinoma. But to begin, Drs. Peter Enziger and David Ilson discussed new developments in gastroesophageal cancer, and Dr. Enziger began the discussion by presenting from his practice a woman in her early 70s who presented with widespread esophageal cancer.
She's a lady who had a large lung nodule, some mediastinal lymphadenopathy. She also had a lesion in the bone. We did the usual workup, confirmed that it was metastatic disease, and gave her FOLFOX chemotherapy. She had a relatively short response to that treatment. She did respond, but progressed. We tried some other chemotherapies that we had discussed with her, and she had chosen some vinorelbine, interestingly enough, among the options I had given her. But ultimately, at that point, we had opened our investigator-initiated trial of pembrolizumab for esophageal cancer. She was a perfect candidate for it. I already knew she was PD-L1 positive. We checked her. She ended up with a CPS score of 80, and we started her on pembrolizumab back in March of 2017. And she quickly, as all these patients, within 3 weeks, felt the best she had had since she had been diagnosed with cancer. And this is really the hallmark, is that when they really respond, it's amazing how this improvement in response occurs before their first restaging scan. She had a great response. The lung nodule shrank dramatically. The mediastinal lymphadenopathy shrank dramatically. And we kept on going. You know, it's an asymptotic sort of decrease, continued to have an improvement, and then started getting short of breath. At first, we weren't quite sure if there was some lymphangitic spread. The cough was mild. We began assuming that it was pneumonitis, but it was relatively mild. But it then ramped up over the next 3 to 6 weeks to the point where one day she just presented to the emergency department requiring oxygen, put her in the hospital, worked her up, and started her on 1 mg/kg of steroids. And basically, during that hospitalization, she already showed some improvement. And then we gradually, after a 2-week course of prednisone, tapered her off. And she's now been off treatment. Follow-up scans have shown a dramatic improvement in pneumonitis. And I've not had to treat her since then. So we're just going to watch her now. She leaves me alone. I'm going to leave her alone. And that's our deal. So I'm seeing her now every 2 months. And hopefully this is going to last now for quite a while.
So we're going to talk in a second about the data that was presented, David. Any comments about the case, both the response as well as the toxicity that occurred?
Squamous cancers, in my experience, are just not that chemo-responsive. And apropos of this study that was presented, we actually published the largest phase 2 trial of weekly paclitaxel in metastatic esophagus cancer. And in second-line treatment, we actually had no responses in metastatic squamous cancer. So second-line options for metastatic squamous cancer are quite poor. And I think this report is practice-changing in patients with upfront chemo resistance with metastatic squamous cancer with a CPS score of 10. I suspect that pembrolizumab will be considered as a treatment option.
Any comments about the pneumonitis, David, that the patient has? Have you seen that with these
patients?
Well,
I mean, you know, I've not seen it, but severe adverse events that are autoimmune occur in about 5% of patients. So that 5% is real, whether it's colitis or endocrine access problems, nephritis, pneumonitis, hepatophysitis. So in general, the drugs are well tolerated, but you have to monitor them carefully and appropriately institute steroids when you see one of these more potentially life-threatening complications.